Recorded in Seattle, Washington. It's an earful in the Emerald City.
Hold on to your butt.
Where local and national gossip is twisted with comedy. Starring Shoddy and Slim. Two typical guys who hold nothing back.
What the hell is so great about that?
To make your jaw sore.
Oh, that's nasty.
Get your mind out of the gutter and give it up for Shoddy and Slim.
Hello? Is this thing on? Is it on? We're live. Okay, we're going.
We are live.
We're going. All right, here we go. Earful in the Emerald City. Thanks for joining us, guys. Glad you're here with us. Glad that you guys are sharing this time with us. You guys here last week. We appreciate it. This is all about you. You guys are the best thing we got out there. So keep listening, guys. We're going to keep making this show good for you. And we got another good one today, actually. We got another good one today. I haven't seen this big guy. I'm Slim over here. It's my main man, Shoddy.
Shoddy!
Bringing it live.
What up, Seattleites? How's it going?
Bringing the heat over there. We haven't got together. We actually surprisingly have not made enough money to become income independent from this show yet. 8 episodes in. I was hoping that we'd have at least 100,000 salary by episode 6. So we're a little behind track, but you know, we're getting it going here though. But yeah, we had some work going on. Busy week. This weather, man, it's been brutal.
Seattle weather is back, ladies and gentlemen.
It is
back, and it's here to stay for a while. Looks like it. 90 days of rain, it feels like.
God, yeah, first time for you here, and you're getting the real deal here. This is no joke, Seattle weather here, but man, it's been intense. It was dumping out there all weekend long, and you know, I'm a snowboard enthusiast. I'm watching the pass report. I'm seeing they're getting some snow. It's not crazy up there. I feel like we're getting the brunt of it down here, and nothing's not as much as going on up there, but. Yeah, this weather is some classic El Nino can go fuck herself type shit here. I mean, it's raining, it's coming down. We'll see if we end up getting some snow. I don't know if it's going to get cold enough. That's kind of been the thing the last couple of years. But how was your weekend, man? What did you get into?
Before I get into that, I want to talk about how it blows my mind how in Snoqualmie Pass. I live in Bellevue. I live in the Bellevue area, and it blows my mind how it's just rainy or cloudy in an area, and 30 to 40 miles or 30, 35 miles east is Snoqualmie Pass, where it's snowing, and it's like a foot high of snow. That just blows my mind. It's like the big difference is 30 to 35 miles away. Like, I didn't get that in Texas even.
That's a very short drive, too, because on I-90,
yes.
If there's no traffic, you're going 75, 80 at least.
I'm guilty of that.
Everybody is.
Yeah, you got to watch it sometimes because I-90 East is loaded with state patrol.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, everywhere is these days. But, yeah, I got a buddy who was bragging to me a couple months ago about how he made it back from Cle Elum in just over an hour. I think an hour and 5 minutes or something, which normally it's like an hour and a half. He's like, yeah, dude, I was going like 90 the whole way. I was like, Jesus, you fucking maniac flying. But he's got the all-wheel drive Subi, so he thinks he's invincible, even though he's fucking crashed that fucking thing on the way to work because he was running late. His last exam, otherwise he wouldn't get his bonus if he was late. And he fucking came around the corner too wide, avoided a car in the left-hand turn lane, and fucking crashed on the other side of the curb. But but he got home from Cle Elum in an hour, though. So good for him on that one. But yeah, no, that's what the Cascade Mountains is all about. Like, we're not like the Rockies. Cascades are crazy because they're jagged and they just come up out of nowhere, and boom, you're shooting up the hill, straight up the hill. You know, sometimes they're not even the biggest hills, but they go straight fucking up, and that's why there's like a lot of good places to hike around here and do that kind of stuff, because these mountains are like that. Like, you go to the Rockies and you're driving and it just looks flat. It just looks like it's flat forever. You go for a while, and then all of a sudden you get to Colorado and you look at a mile marker sign and it says the elevation is like 6,500 feet. And you're like, 6,500 feet? We barely even went up a hill here. What the hell's been going on? And you just slowly are driving up the mountain, and eventually, you know, you get up there. Like, I went to my buddy. He went to school in Laramie in Wyoming, and the elevation at the place at the city where he was at was 5,200 feet. 5,200 feet, and it wasn't even, you know, crazy at all. It was just flat ground, just a bunch of flat ground, and it got pretty cold in the wintertime.
Wow.
It just comes out of nowhere. But the rock or the Cascades, man, they just boom, they pop up and they're right there, you know?
Yeah.
So, and a lot of people don't really know that about this area.
That is crazy. But going on to my weekend, I think I mentioned this on the last episode of where I was going to be at. I went to Attaball, the Attaball arcade in the Fremont area of Seattle this past Friday. It was my first time, and let me tell you, it's been a long time since I've been to like a real arcade. Not like GameWorks, not like Chuck E. Cheese. I'm talking about an arcade, like a real arcade with the pinball machines, the classic arcade games. And let me tell you, man, I had a freaking blast. I felt like I was 6 years old again. And the fact that it's also a bar too, like, you mix my two favorite things, beer and arcades, man.
Mm-hmm.
I was, for the first time in my life, I was drinking beer while playing Ms. Pac-Man. Like that, like I was on cloud nine.
Ms. Pac-Man, this guy's always going for the ladies. Always going for the ladies. God damn it. Yeah, no, that place is. That's a mecca for geek gamers. I mean, come on. You know, you got everything in there. I got a buddy who plays a lot of pinball with his pops, and he fucking loves going to those places. He likes drinking beer, too. So, you know, it's a match made in heaven for him. But
yeah, and the place was packed. It was a Friday night. I was there from 7:30 till it closed.
Shut that motherfucker down.
Yes, I did.
You must have had at least $20 in quarters, at least.
Actually, I actually just spent $5 and quarters, because everything was either 25 or 50 cents.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think I might have used $2 more later on that night, but I mean, everything was cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what's weird? I've realized that, I don't know why, but in my opinion, the older pinball machines, the older pinball games, they seem so much harder than the modern ones. Like, does that make sense to you? I don't. There was a spaceship pinball machine that was there, and like, I was only on it for like a minute and a half. It was so hard. Like one of the barriers was like 6 inches away from the flippers, and like you really have to pay attention. Like I don't know why. It, like, the older pinball machines, in my opinion, require more skills than the modern ones that come out.
Yeah, I think some of the effects for them and all the shit that goes on, the castle starts shaking or whatever, this and that, blah blah blah, something explodes, all that stuff. I think it is better on those older games, definitely. Well, but I think this kind of goes along the same lines. You're talking about the newer ones being easier. It's the same thing as the participation ribbons that are. That are epidemic in child sports these days, or the fact that when they're 5-6 years old in T-ball, everybody gets to run around the bases every single time, even if it's a pop fly and you get caught out, the kids get to run around the whole way.
Yeah, just, man. I did it.
Just to give them that feel, you know. Good job, Sonny.
Even though I didn't fucking earn it,
you did it. All right, way to go, kid. Way to go. You hit it. It went somewhere. You're a good kid.
Yeah. And like all this, after all this time, man, I thought it was pretty good at, or not like a god, but pretty decent at pinball. And then I got on that spaceship pinball machine and fucking humbled me. But the main reason I was there was for a birthday party, but I told myself I was going to break the Ms. Pac-Man record. And the Ms. Pac-Man record at Attaball was 155,000 and some change. And I
I did two player with someone, and he was also part of the birthday party too. And we put on a show for some people. We had some people, you know, over our shoulders watching us. I got to about I got to about 95,000 points, but he blew me out the water. He got to 110. Oh, wow. And I he got to a stage. I've been playing Ms. Pac-Man for over 20 years, at least. And he got to a stage I've never seen before. And I kind of felt like a little kid. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've never seen this stage. he only lasted on it for like a minute because, you know, for anyone that plays Ms. Pac-Man, the longer you go, the harder the stages are. And when you get that big dot, you know, say if you're on, you know, maze number 12 and, you know, the ghosts only stay, they're only flashing for like, you know, five, six seconds instead of, you know, 10, 15 seconds.
The short abbreviated time. Yeah. Those older ones will get you. How was the birthday turnout?
It was good. Pretty good. It was good. It was one of my coworkers, the birthday girl. She was drunk the whole time. I got there before her, and she went to a Mexican restaurant in Fremont. I forgot the name actually, and she was already drunk. And I think she only said like five or six words to me, but she appreciated that I came. But I was part of the party, but I was, regardless, having a blast. And you're not going to believe this, Slim. I had my first meal from a food truck here in Seattle.
First time?
Yes. Out of the 9 months that I've been here, I had my first.
Pop the food truck cherry. Wow.
Yes. It was a burrito. It was right outside of Attaball. It was a burrito, and it was pretty damn good.
Oh, I know exactly where you're talking about, the place up by the main road there.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's a good little spot, a good little truck there. Yeah, Fremont's a fun area. It's a little bit of a drive to get down there. You got to kind of twist and turn, not quite as bad as fucking Ballard. Ballard is not close to anything except for fucking some old-ass sailors. There's nothing out there. There's literally nothing out there. I don't fucking get it, but Fremont's pretty cool. It's worth making that trip out there. There's got a lot of good spots out there. And like you said, there's food trucks. They got a couple places to dance. They got some places to play some live music. So
Fremont reminds me of Austin. I don't know why. Like I was driving around for a bit to find a parking spot. And it, for some reason, it reminded me of Austin, minus the cost of living. Austin has a little lower cost of living than that area, from what I've heard. But I mean, Fremont reminded me of Austin. Like, oh wow, this is kind of like home.
Yeah, a lot less Republicans, but
yes,
similar to home though. A lot more hippies.
Yeah,
no, dude. So listen to this stuff. I didn't even tell you this. This just happened a little bit ago. So we're coming up with some installments, you know, some segments that we can do here for you guys, keep you guys interested week to week. And one of them that I was coming up with was the WWW, the Washington Weirdo Watch List. And this is just me making some observations of some of the folks that I see around in this wonderful yet wacky and weird city of ours. And I'm going to bring them to you just to keep your eyes peeled for these people. You know, they may or may not be armed and dangerous. Some of them might be. Some of them are probably nice people, but they're ones you're going to see from time to time. And you need to, like I said, keep your eyes on them. You never know what they'll be up to. But I was actually on my way home. It's pissing rain out there. It's dumping like buckets. I walked down to the gym and come back. This was actually earlier today. And as I'm about to cross the street, there's a bunch of traffic coming north. It's about 6 o'clock, so the tail end of traffic around here. I mean, that goes till 7 probably, especially if you're on 405 and they're tolling. But no, I was coming across the street and I was waiting. Rain is just dumping, and this guy goes by on his fucking street bike. First off, he's riding like a Gixxer 750.
Wait, this is on 405, right?
I was coming home from the gym, so this is on Highway 99.
Okay,
Highway 99, just right down the street from my house. So he's on his street bike, like a Gixxer 750, which is a pretty sick bike. I mean, that bike's quick and looks pretty good, and it's still fairly light, so you can definitely got some good power and torque. And he's riding the bike in his fucking shorts. He's wearing a pair of khaki, navy blue khaki shorts.
Sounds like a hipster.
Riding his bike in the fucking rain. I mean, what are you doing? Like, this is when you get these authentic, true winters, like we're getting right now. Like, it's not even winter, but we're, you know, it's coming down. I mean, you guys see what's fucking going on up there. No one's immune to this shit. All right. It was scary driving home from work today. That's how nasty it was out there. But when you guys see this shit, and then you got this guy riding a fucking street bike, like not only could you fucking, you're going to get soaked, like, think of how wet that guy's socks are. I mean, is there anything worse than a soaking wet sock that's squishing every time you step and it just oozes in between your toes and just reminds you of how fucking homeless you feel? Like, that shit, I couldn't believe that. And how easy you could spin out on that thing, lose control, and fucking slide into a railing or get run over by something. Like, this is just the kind of shit when you got this weather you got to deal with, people just end up saying fuck it. And, you know, I don't agree with it, but I got to give the guy, he's got some heart. You know, he's got some heart. He left the house that day, and he fucking knew his ass was going to get soaking ass wet while he was wearing a pair of goddamn shorts. But watch out for him, people, all right? Weirdos, they're out there everywhere, all over the place.
He's got some donkey balls, sounds like.
You know, hopefully you made it home safe. I mean, that's all I can say. Fucking guy's a maniac, but... God, I can barely see when I'm driving, and they got the windshield wipers on full blast. This guy's got fucking rain hitting him right in his windscreen.
That's a warrior. That is a weather warrior.
Yeah, well, at least he'll be well-protected if and when he falls, you know, those... they were khaki shorts, you know, they weren't like basketball shorts, so they offered a little bit of protection, but yeah, I'll keep my eyes peeled for you guys. They're all, like I said, they're all over the place, and I spot them all the time. Mm. I'll break them down here for you guys and tell you the cans and can'ts and what to avoid and what to look out for, all that good stuff.
Speaking of not what he was talking about, but arcades. I around between, I want to say 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. this Friday. What's it? 8, 9, the 11th, December 11th. Between, I want to say between around 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. I will be at 8-Bit Arcade in Renton, and you know, after my experience at Attaball, I want to say my new favorite type of bars are arcades or arcade bars. So we, Slim, I didn't tell you this. When I posted on our Facebook page that me and maybe you, and you didn't show up, that's why I put maybe, we'll be at.
We had to keep you guys guessing.
Yeah, we were going to be at Attaball this past Friday, and I was there. And I posted on the Facebook page, if you give us the match, the first one, the come up to us and say the magic word Seahawks, I would buy you a free beer. And someone came up to me and they said Seahawks, and I got them.
No kidding.
Yeah. And I got them a free beer. And I'm going to do the same thing for 8-Bit. If you're listening and if you have nothing to do during the happy hour times, I'll be there probably from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. If you come up to me and you give me the magic word, pizza, I will buy you a beer.
Pizza. Everybody loves a little za.
Yes,
za,
I will, a little beer. I'm going to be at 8-Bit hanging out with a buddy of mine in Renton Friday. So if you have nothing to do, if you want a free beer, the first one to come up to me and say pizza, I'll come up and buy you a beer. So
catch him earlier rather than later, because if you catch him later and he's a little drunker, he's probably going to think that you're going to buy him pizza, and he's definitely going to be okay with that. So watch out. Make sure he interprets it right there. But yeah, check for that. No, they're fun spots. I mean, it's just stuff that everybody likes. You're just putting booze with another good thing.
Yeah, but
and you can't really go wrong there.
Yeah, and when I first heard it, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the greatest idea. And I don't even think Austin has one of those. Like, they have arcades, but they never put alcohol with it together. I'm like, that is the greatest fucking idea.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, like, I know that this is like old news to Seattleites who've been here for a long time.
Yeah,
but
so like 2014.
Yeah, fuck you. And but I mean, I had a blast, and I will definitely be going back to Attaball. I don't know when, but I will definitely be going back there.
It's a pretty good business model, actually. They're literally nickel and diming you. So as you're playing, and you keep feeding those quarters in there, that shit adds up, and you don't really realize it because you just put a couple bucks, five, maybe 10. If you were like, all right, I'm hitting this shit hard right now. new personal best, new high score. I'm going to get this motherfucker, maybe even a 20 in there, but you're putting it in 25, 50 cents at a time, and you don't think much as you're doing it, but you got 10, 12, 15 people there all putting their fucking quarters in the machine. I mean, that shit adds up quick. I know how much my stupid ass change jar in my room adds up. That shit, that comes out of nowhere. If you spend cash like I do a lot, don't like to leave a paper trail, you know, in case anybody's watching me, which I don't have any hard evidence that I'm being watched, but you know, this, I keep seeing these guys always follow me on the way home, but that's a completely different thing though. But the change is good though. That's what I'm trying to say here, people. Change is good. All right.
Nah, but, if you haven't yet, if you like arcades, if you like beer, and they do have liquor there, check out Attaball. Now, enough of me, and on to Slim's weekend. Slim was actually supposed to meet me at Attaball later on that night, but he bailed out on me, and he's about to tell you why.
Because I got too drunk before I could drive down there.
I want you to elaborate. I want you to elaborate on that.
That's, unfortunately, that's all the elaboration there is.
Are you?
my buddy Max caught me early. A fucking bastard. We went and got a couple beers. I've done some work for this guy. He's got a restaurant out in Edmonds. It's called Five Bistro. Actually, good little spot, pretty close to my place. And they got a good little bar there. Went and got some drinks. I did some work for him, so I got a credit with all this gift certificate. So he took me out there. We went and just fucking got some drinks, and then he ended up ordering a bunch of shots. And fucking A, man. It honestly comes back to this goddamn weather, dude. This fucking weather. It's gloomy. It's dark all the time, man. I hate to agree with all the haters out there who think it's, oh, we always want to kill ourselves all the time out here in the Northwest, but fuck, sometimes it is. You just can't get off the couch, get motivated to do shit. But yeah, especially fuck, we're drinking the tequila too. They got some nice shit there, and like I said, it was essentially free. All I had to do was risk my life on their roof, cleaning that shit off. But
you know what? We're having shots of at Attaball. They have $1 Mad Dog shots.
Mad Dog. Like Mad Dog 4040?
Yes.
What?
Yeah. $1 Mad Dog.
Isn't that malt liquor?
Yes.
And they just like pour like a shot?
Yes. $1.
Oh, that's great. Just enough to give you a fucking terrible hangover probably. And not to get you that drunk. God. Give me a break. No, actually there's another one over here. There's this place right down the road on 99 here. It's called Another Castle. Another castle, but yeah, just another little bar spot. But no, definitely a good little scene. And you know, the ladies can play some pinball. The guys can play some pinball. You have a good little Street Fighter, maybe, all that kind of shit.
Oh, that Street Fighter.
Maybe
at
Dawn
Attaball
of the Dead or whatever that fucking gun game is, or Buck Hunter and all that shit. But they got a
Buck
good
Hunter. Hell no, they ain't have the Buck Hunter there. Hell no. That Time Crisis.
No,
I get
Buck
down.
Hunter. Oh, yeah, Time Crisis.
I get down
That's
on
right.
some Time Crisis.
That's right. Time crisis. Fucking A. That was my weekend. Went and met with a few people on Saturday, but nothing too crazy. Where did we go? Fuck, I can't even remember. God, this, you know, we're in this holiday season, and again, and once again, I'm going to come back to the weather here. You know, I fucking completely just fell off the wagon. I had about a month and a half, like almost 2 months, where I wasn't really drinking at all. I'd have a beer or two. I think it's fucking completely unreasonable to think I'm not going to drink a single sip of alcohol for any extended period of time. That's never going to happen. So what I got to do is I got to try to cut it down to like one or two and maybe three on a busy night. But I had that going for like almost 2 months, and fucking just it's completely come off basically in the last 2 weeks, and I'm basically on a bender, and it's a downward spiral that might not change trajectory.
No, you're not on a downward spiral. Remember in one of the early episodes, I told you, this is the time when bars make their money. It's the holidays. Mm-hmm. This is when...
Happy holidays!
Yeah, this is when all the unhealthy food...
That soul food, you know?
Yeah.
That really fills you up. Motherfucker,
you don't know about no soul food. You do not know about no soul food.
I don't, you're right.
Yeah.
I know about a good tuna melt, though. That's about it. That's not that soul food.
No, seriously, no. Man, this is when I spend November, December... That's when I spend the majority of my money at bars, because I don't know why the holidays is when people decide to get out. They don't go out, but during the first 9-10 months of the year. But sometimes in October and definitely November and December, they come out of hibernation. And if you're like if you're a regular at the bar and you see this person come in every day, you're like, who the fuck are you? where the fuck are you going? And then January hits and they're gone. They're back.
Yeah.
They're going home every day and you know.
Yeah, it's because they got a shit ton of debt now. They got to fucking pay for
wait for that tax return to come. That's what they're doing.
To work. They got their days off. You got your New Year's. You got New Year's Eve that evening. Get back to fucking work, pal.
You know what's crazy? Shit. When I was living in Texas, the last town I was living in Texas, I was a customer service manager for a grocery store, and I met someone who came through one of my checkout lines, and she lived in Colorado, but she would come down in Texas for 3 or 4 months because it was warmer in Texas than Colorado. Like, she would come and live in Texas for the next 3 to 4 months because in Colorado, it gets cold.
Fuck yeah, it gets cold. Are you kidding me?
But she would come down to Texas just to live there. And I was like, because I was, the town I lived in was very small. So we would see the same people every day. And I was like, wow, I've never seen you around. She's like, yeah, I moved down to Texas for the next few months because I live in Colorado and it gets too cold for me. I'm like, you can afford to do that? She's like, yep.
That's the first thing I was thinking. There's people that can do that? Wow. That, you know, last time I was in Colorado, it was like middle to late March because I think we were watching March Madness. And there was fucking snow on the ground everywhere. It snowed like 2 days before that.
Oh, yeah.
In the middle of March. I was like, God damn, this shit is extreme here.
Yeah, when
snow on the ground.
Yeah, when I moved here. I moved here in the middle of March earlier in the year. And I moved by plane. All I did was I sold my furniture and I packed up. I packed up all my clothes
sold your sofa bed.
Yeah, no, I had an actual bed, you dick. And I sold my TV. I sold my entertainment center. I kept my DVDs, but I packed up all of my my clothes and I put it in a big chest. And I think my luggage ended up costing like $400.
Oh my
God. It was more than the ticket because it was a one-way ticket. My one-way ticket was only like $300.
How long ago was this?
This was back in March.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, my the check in my luggage was more than the ticket.
Yeah.
But I had a lot of money at the time because I knew I was making this move, so I saved up a lot of money in the past months before. But yeah, I had to go from Lubbock, Texas to Denver, Colorado to Seattle, and I remember landing in Denver, and it's the middle of March, and I see snow patches in March, and that I'm like, well, yeah, I'm in Colorado, and that's the and that was one of the two times I've been in Colorado, but I've never like actually been out in Colorado, and I heard Colorado's very conservative, but Denver's not. Is that true? I mean, you're more.
I think that's from what I've heard. That seems like the case. Like that's kind of been a swing state in the last few elections. They don't. I think it's definitely gone Democrat, but
really,
But there's certainly a lot of conservative people though. You know, it's out there in the Midwest and shit still. But yeah, fucking Denver, man. Too bad about Peyton Manning, huh? That really sucks.
Yeah, he's unfortunately through.
Yeah, it's a shitty way to end. You know, it's like. Especially after he went to the Broncos, after John Elway, you know, that guy closed it out like a true champion, finished his run on top, got out while he can, and now he's in the management box and doing that thing, keeping it going there. But
I think Peyton Manning should be a quarterback's coach.
That guy would probably just keep fucking raking in the money doing ads, dude. That guy is the most marketable motherfucker out there right now.
He's so goofy though. He's good. He's so goofy looking. Yeah. But I mean, progressive insurance is just, I mean, not progressive. I'm sorry, nationwide insurance, all they just pay him to do is this.
Yeah, well, you know, he makes money slanging those footballs. He didn't
not anymore
being a singer. Well, yeah, not anymore. But we'll see, though. I mean, the Broncos are still looking good in the AFC, though. So, and they fucking beat the Patriots, so they know what's going on. At least their backup's getting it done. I can't even remember who it is, to be honest. But
anyway, so Donald fucking Trump, he's at it again.
Are we getting into it?
Yes.
Oh man, I've been biting my lip waiting for this one.
Okay, we're gonna talk about. Well, Donald, he said two things. The first thing he said was he should think no Muslims should come into the United States until they figure this whole thing out.
Whatever that means.
Shit, oh my gosh.
Like, how would you even go about this? This is just, if Donald Trump wants to win the Republican nomination, he wants to do it by the most narrow margin possible. I mean, he wants this thing to come down to the wire. Like, why? What do you even look to gain from saying something like this? Like, are you really going to rally your base, unite the people? No. Everybody across the board has come out and just completely said, no, this guy's insane. No, this guy's insane. No, he's fucking ridiculous. No, why would he say every single person? And now you've given everybody a chance to be pissed at you and to unite and say, yeah, fuck this guy now. Like, why are we even been paying this much attention to him? Look at the dumbass shit that he says. Like, you can't do something like this. These guys, the only way that these guys can pose a true threat and be a problem for us is if they get us to act irrationally. And this would just be pretty much the most irrational thing that we could do in the very short term.
Yeah. You know why they're so, you know why the GOP is so pissed off at Donald Trump? You know why? Because I don't know if this is going to make sense or not. Donald Trump says shit that the GOP is too, and it's too pussy to say. No, I'm not sticking up for Donald Trump, but I mean,
he is though. He's coming from that side, but he's pushing it to the limit.
Yes, more than anybody else to the limit
is even willing to.
I am not a Trump supporter, just to make it clear. But there is that old saying, not every Republican is a racist, but every racist is a Republican.
Well, there's some trueness to those words, man. I mean, you got these motherfuckers who have been in there for decades now. Decades. Look at Mitch McConnell. That guy's been in there for like 20-something years. 20-something years. He's old as shit.
In Congress?
Yeah.
Jeez.
He's old as shit. That guy has no new ideas. He's got nothing fresh. He sounds like a fucking turtle when you hear him talk. Like, the guy sounds like a cartoon character from the early 60s. I mean, he has nothing. He has nothing to give here. He has nothing to give. He's a pariah. All he does is take. These people don't have any fresh, any good, any new ideas. And Trump is just trying to just push it so far and take it to the extreme here that he doesn't even care who he offends or what happens here. He just thinks that he can walk everything back. And this is gonna hurt him. I guarantee this is one that's gonna hurt him. And you're gonna see some kind of apology if there hasn't already been. And he's gonna come back because everybody wants to just look ahead and say, oh, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that, we're gonna stop him from coming in, we're gonna bomb him, we're gonna bust him, we're gonna do this,
we're like, gonna build a wall.
Why don't for one second, why don't any of us, any of our leaders at least, ever stop and think, let's look at this issue from the perspective of our opponents. Why don't we take a look at this and see what they want? What do you think ISIS would think about a ban of all Muslims from coming into this country? Do you think they would be happy or do you think they'd be upset with that?
You know what? No. Well, I think that they would be happy about it.
They would fucking be thrilled.
Yeah, let me tell you.
They would be thrilled with that.
I'm about to go off on this shit. Let me tell you about ISIL. Yeah, I'm calling them ISIL because they hate being called ISIL. Let me tell you about ISIL. ISIL is fucking weak. Because you know why? ISIL's number one goal is to turn us into them. It's to stoop us to their fucking level. We're going over there bombing Syrian, bombing innocent people. What the fuck? What the fuck are they do? What the fuck did they just do? They killed innocent people. They want us to stoop to their level. That is their number one goal. They want us to live in fear. They want us to be warmongers. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you. That's why we cannot have... we cannot have a Republican in office. Because he's not going to give a shit. Trump already said, we need to go there and bomb their kids. Bomb the women. Kill them to send a message. No, that's not how we fucking do it. We need to go in there and, you know, my opinion is, and you know, it can either sound far-fetched to you or realistic. We need to find the main central guy of ISIL. That's who we need to find. That's going to hurt them more than anything else. When we took down Osama bin Laden, that was a big blow to them.
Yeah, but he was hanging out in Pakistan, though, at some compound. I don't think he was part of the operation.
He wasn't part of ISIS. He was the head of Al-Qaeda.
No, I know, but I don't think he was part of any day-to-day operations or anything. He was just hunkered down with a bunch of wives and a bunch of porn and, you know, taking care of his business, probably just trying to lead a nice, quiet life.
Walking around with fucking syphilitis. Jesus Christ.
God.
That's a different story. But you know what? ISIL is fucking weak, man. They don't have the money that we do. They don't have, you know, they don't have the intelligence like we do. They want us to live in fear. They want us to be like them. They want us to be angry. For example, the open carry law that Texas is gonna start next month is a clear fucking example. I don't own a gun and I never will. I'm not a gun owner.
Am I against the Second Amendment? No. If you want to have a gun, if you want to have a handgun in your house, fine. But why do you need an AK-47? Why do you need an AR-15? Why do you need an assault rifle? Are you honestly going to go hunting with that?
No, it has assault in the name. It's not a, it's exactly. not a hunting rifle.
My buddy Slim here just broke it down simple, in a simple way. Assault rifle. Why do you need... Why? You're not going to go hunt down a deer with it. Why? You want a shotgun? You want a handgun? That's fine. But why do you need an assault rifle? You're not in the military. You're not going overseas combating. Why do you need one?
No, but any gun can do some damage, though. I mean, if you're a good shot like fucking Jason Bourne, a couple clips of a pistol, you could definitely take out some people, maybe 10, 12 people. But here's the thing with us. Okay, we're playing right into these guys' hands. Okay, we freak out. We say, oh, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to bomb. These people, don't you think they want us to bomb?
Yes.
Them? Don't you think they realize, like, why don't we step back and do the unpredictable thing and not play into their hand for once? This is what these guys want to do. They can't fight a military fight with us and win. They can't do it. But at the same time, we can't just bomb them all to hell and then be done with this problem, because you're never going to get them all, and that's not how it works. You can't do that. We've never had a strategy where we bombed our way to victory. It's never happened in the history of the United States. We just don't do it. That's not how you win wars. The best thing, in my opinion, that we could do is just fucking stop talking about these people. Honestly, just stop talking about them. I think that they're so fresh. You know, let the European governments, if they want to get involved, let them get involved. If we stop bombing them, though, do you honestly think that their leaders or their upper level people, do you think that they would be happy or upset?
Well, that's a toss up, because, like I said, I don't think we should just keep bombing them. We need to go after who's on top of ISIL. In my opinion, yeah. We need to go after who's on top, because that's going to be their biggest blow. You know, and you know, to keep on bombing the Middle East and killing innocent people, they want that. For instance, the Syrian refugees. I was talking to someone earlier about this. If they in these people's state of mind, either you're with them or you're against them. Syrian refugees are obviously against them. They're trying to get away from them. If they wanted to kill the Syrian refugees already, they would have. They would have done it a long time ago. But they kept them alive because they know that we're going to be afraid of them. I'm not afraid of them, but the majority of America is. It is, and it's fucking sad. They know that we're going to some Americans are going to think that the Syrian refugees are really ISIL.
Well, when you have that many people coming into our country, 100,000, the thing is some of those people are going to be pieces of shit. Okay, 100,000 people, they're not all going to be saints. Yeah, they're fleeing a war-torn country. You know, they're just trying to get out. They're probably just trying to raise their family. And I'm not saying they're bad people, but some of those people are pieces of shit. That being said, you can't push everybody away just because a handful of those people might not be good people or great people that you want in your country. You know, you got to take them all in, because, again, this is a problem that we had played a hand in initiating. And now that we can't step away from it, we have to take some of the consequences. And that's how it works here. You know, these people are displaced. They just want to get the fuck out of there. They want nothing to do with this. And again, we're dropping bombs. Like, yeah, well, no, we're trying to drop the good bombs, though, you know, on the bad guys. Well, okay, when the war in Syria first started, we said that Assad has to go. That was the U.S.'s stance. They said, Assad has to go. We got to get him out of here. We were almost intervening, and then everybody said, no. What the fuck? No. We're not doing this. We're not doing this after Iraq. No way. So Obama and the administration backed off, And look at us now. Now we're bombing his opponents, ISIS. What's the strategy here? What's our end game? What are we looking for out of this, huh? All we're doing is just playing into these guys' hands. That's all we're doing is just giving them recruitment material, okay? That's all it is. It's just recruitment and material. Look at these guys fucking, they spend their money so they can fight us. Oh, no, they'll never kill us. They'll never, we'll live on. We're ISIS. We're the most brutal. These guys, if we stop bombing them, they wouldn't even be happy. They wouldn't even be happy. And even if they did, they'd cheer for 2 seconds, and then they say, oh, shit, that guy across the way over there is still trying to shoot me. I mean, they got fucking bigger issues here. This isn't just a problem that is going to take over America here. All right? There's no way these guys can pose any threat to us. Maybe a little splinter cell gets in here. Somebody gets there. 10 people die. 12 people die. Yeah, those situations are always going to happen or be able to happen in a country the size of the U.S., but that can't change our way of life. That they're not going to take us down with that. That's not going to ruin this country as long as we don't act like fucking crazy maniacs and can, you know, look for vengeance and try to flip the situation and say, yeah, fuck these guys. Let's kill them all. You know, don't get on their fucking level. Like you said, we just got to act like civilized human beings like we've evolved to in this country. And because that's how we've got to this place is by not fucking fighting each other, not being paranoid fucks and trying to fix the wrongs that have been done in history and, you know, with mankind in general. And we've achieved this because we're not fucking shooting at each other all the time. People don't have to worry about that shit. Crime is at almost an all-time low. And yet paranoia is at an all-time high at the exact same time. True. How is this possible? How is this possible? Crime is the lowest it's ever been in this country since 1950 or maybe even ever. Maybe this poll I was just reading, maybe ever this is the lowest crime has been, yet paranoia is through the roof. I was in U District working the promos, still down at the Williams-Sonoma there, working the promos at the U Village. Fucking, it's a spirited time down there. Christmas music a playing. It's beautiful. But I don't know if you guys heard about this. On Sunday, there was a armed carjacking in, they said Montlake. I saw Montlake. I saw Belltown, too. So it was kind of all around.
I heard about that. And that was less than a mile away. I'm sorry, less than half a mile away where I work.
Yeah, same point. That was the first article I saw. This is how crazy that shit was, man. I heard a couple cops go by because they have the door open at the store there, so you can hear what's going on. Heard a couple cops go up the ramp towards UW, towards the school, and heard maybe 3 or 4 go by, and I was like, what the fuck? So I walked over the window after that. After I walked to the window, saw 4 or 5 more go by after that, and then I was like, okay, what the fuck is going on here? This is pretty crazy. And I was looking around at all the people that were in the mall and shopping. And, I mean, nobody freaked out. I'm not going to say that was the case, but things definitely got tense for a minute. San Bernardino had happened a couple days before. Obviously, Paris was a couple weeks ago. And people kind of got a little tense there. And, you know, I jumped on my phone because I wanted to find out what was happening. You know, there was a couple people in the store that were kind of like, what the heck's going on here? They were asking questions. And so I was just saying, well, it's probably just something, you know, something's going on, whatever. Obviously an armed situation or something. They wouldn't send that many cops. I got on the local news feed for Twitter, and I think it was Cairo or King 5 had video of these cops going past U Village down Sandpoint, like you're saying, and going past U Village right where I'm at, heading up that ramp, and there was literally like 6 or 7 of them, but it ended up just being the armed carjacker. I don't think anybody died. I didn't read the follow up.
No, story. I think the carjacker died.
It
was a shootout,
death by suicide.
No, know? It was a shootout between the cops and him, and
yeah,
I think he got fucked, obviously.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, hey, you know, you're gonna bring a gun to the party. Those guys shoot guns all fucking day, and they're waiting for a reason to point one at anybody. So good luck with that, man. But, no, the crazy thing was to me was just, like I said, it got a little tense there. I saw some people, and they were kind of looking a little uneasy. And you know, people were just freaking out. But I jumped on my phone and saw that video literally minutes after this happened. Like, the fucking amount of how quickly information can travel on this shit is so crazy. And this is kind of why I think that is the reason that like crime is at an all-time low is because people are more informed. People know about what's going on. They're on top of shit. Like I said, I went right to my Twitter feed, saw that, knew what was going on. But you think about it, man. Even if, let's say, worst case scenario, people are thinking, oh, some terrorist event, maybe at the school, maybe some you know, foreign exchange students were holding up with guns or whatever, and they kill some people, 20, 25, 30, maybe even 40 people, okay? Biggest since 9/11, we'll say, in a terrorist act. How many people in the local area would be affected by that? How many people in the city of Seattle would it directly know somebody if 40 people got killed?
A lot, right?
No, not a lot, man. Maybe a couple hundred, maybe 200 people in the entire area. 300, maybe 4. I mean, then you're getting to, well, she was a friend of my brother who hung out with her one time. Yeah, I mean, they cannot stop our way of life. The only way they can stop our way of life is just to drive us to extreme paranoia and get us to let the government take away our freedoms and do bullshit that they're saying is making us safer when it's not. And they're dropping all these bombs telling you, oh, no, we're taking the fight to them. This is making us safer. This is not. This is recruitment material for these guys, okay? We're never going to bomb them all. We're never going to blow them all up. Again, why don't we give doing nothing a shot and see what happens? Maybe we stop sending them foreign fighters because nobody disagrees with us anymore because we're not killing innocent people. I mean, you got to factor that into this equation somehow. And I'm not trying to be on their side, but... And these guys are fucking ruthless, but they have other problems, though. They got so many opposition groups that are fighting with them. I mean, the whole place is just insane, and everybody's dropping bombs now. I mean, why? I just don't think we need to be a part of it right now. It's just too much craziness.
I definitely agree with you. But like I said, ISIL's weak. They're just playing one huge fucking mind game with America.
That's their only chance to beat us, is to drive us into chaos and make us do our own crazy shit.
That's your goal.
And you know what? I got to say, I'm overall pretty impressed with people. I mean, people aren't getting too crazy. There is some paranoia out there. There definitely is. I got a buddy, but he's always thinking, you know, he's one of those guys who's fucking pessimistic.
Is he a conspiracy theorist?
He's one of those pessimistic as fuck people.
Oh my
that
gosh.
If you around them for too long, their mood just becomes poison and it'll infect you and it'll make you sick and you can't do it. But man, things are going crazy around here. I was like, what? Because why? He's like, well, you know, there was Paris and then the San Bernardino thing. Well, I was like, yeah, you know, it's crazy and it sucks, but there's fucking crazy people out there, you know. In a country of 300 plus million people, you gotta expect that half a million of those motherfuckers are legitimately crazy. They are legitimate lunatics, and hopefully they're not violent. Some of them probably are, but hopefully they're not violent. But they're fucking crazies, all right. And I'm probably going low on this number, but they're out there, and every once in a while they're gonna get to a point in their life where something happens and they go through some trauma, go through some tough times, and they could fucking snap. And it's just going to happen. It's a part of our life. We have all these guns in the fucking country, and you know, there's no way you're going to completely resolve it, unfortunately. But banning Muslims from coming into the country, I mean, how can you not see that playing right into these motherfuckers' hand? Playing right into that shit. I mean, why don't you try to do something that surprises them and is unpredictable? Why don't we try that for once?
Let me ask you a question, Slim. Do you
ever read the fucking Art of War? Good God.
Well, I don't know if everyone in America can get on board with that, unfortunately. Let me ask you something, Slim. Do you think that every Republican would get on board with Donald Trump?
Fuck no, dude. Absolutely not. You think Obama has it rough right now with people working with him in Congress? Fucking Trump. If he would come in as a Republican, the Republicans wouldn't even work with this guy, dude. Nobody would work with him. And he would probably be a fucking snotty brat about the whole goddamn thing, dude. Oh my God. Just imagine the rhetoric that would be thrown around between him and Congress. These guys would definitely not work with him, dude. I mean, you ask them between that and Hillary, and they're going, okay, they're definitely going to go with the Donald, you know, just because of the P and as opposed to the V. You know, I don't think you got Carly Fiorina that's running, quote unquote, but I think the country is about ready for a female president. I don't know if the Republican Party is ready for one.
Okay, and this leads me to something that me and my girlfriend were talking about earlier this morning. So, if Trump gets the nod for nomination, let me run that back. I feel like the GOP is screwed regardless because their top two candidates are Trump and Ben Carson. And she disagreed with me to some point. I still think it's true. Let me explain. If Donald Trump gets the nod for the GOP nomination, not every Republican is going to vote for him. It's just true. He's a fucking nut, and it's proven. He's proved that to us. Now it comes down to who gets a nomination for the Democrats. It's either going to come down to Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton. If Hillary gets it, then we're going to have very low numbers when it comes to voting because, one, Hillary she's notorious for her, in quotes, lies, and she has the V. And Republicans are not going to vote against Trump for someone with a V.
Definitely not. They're looking at the worst of two evils.
They may there. Not. So, who's the lesser of two evils in the Republicans' point of view? Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton?
Definitely. The lesser is definitely Trump. Again, just because he's a guy. He's got the nod just because he's a guy.
So they'll probably vote for Trump.
Well, yeah, of course they would. And then once they got in, they would fucking completely break ties with them, I'm sure, and it would just be chaos within the party. But I mean, it's going to come to fucking Hillary, man. I mean, as much as I don't even like to say it, it's
going to be Hillary. I've been telling people the media does not want to admit it. Bernie Sanders is gaining popularity. They want to keep this guy off of TV. They want to keep him out the newspaper. They want to keep him off the radio. But this man is working his ass off. Now, a few months ago, if it was time to nominate the person who was going to represent the Democrats, yes, Hillary will blow him out the fucking water. Yeah. But people know who this man is now. He won the readers' vote for Time's Person of the Year. Did he get the final nomination? Fuck no, because Time magazine is known for being a conservative magazine. Of course they're not going to have him as a finalist, but he won the readers' poll, so people are listening to him, and they know who the fuck he is. This guy's a fighter. He walked with Martin Luther King, for God's sake. This man is a fighter.
He's a fighter. So you're telling me that Time was not on Bernie Sanders' side?
Yeah, he won the readers' poll for person of the year, but he didn't get the final nomination. What the fuck does that tell you?
Time is not on his side.
I see what you did.
Thank you. Gee, I had to say it the second time. I knew it would get snapped. You snap out of it, you son of a bitch. Give me some credit here. I'm burning some serious calories.
But if it came down to Trump and Sanders, I think Sanders would blow him out the water.
That would be a much more fun race to watch. It'd be which one of these crazy white fucks are you going to go with? Are you going to go with the real crazy fuck, or are you going to go with the holy shit, this guy can't be serious. He can't be that crazy fuck. And I'm going to let you guys decide which one's which there. But
yeah. Okay, but let's go to the second most popular.
They're going to silence him, though. They're going to squash. Hillary's going to squash the rebellion. She's going to do it. She's going to fucking outspend him.
We'll see.
She's going to squash it, and she'll make him fucking, I don't know, some kind of crazy. I'd say Homeland Security or something, but who knows? Or Secretary of the State. But I don't know if we want to crazy ass old white guy being our Secretary of State talking to foreigners from countries that he might not even have heard of before.
Oh my God, you're horrible.
Uzbekistan.
Anyway, let's go on to the second Kazakhstan. The second most popular GOP candidate, which is Ben Carson. Now, I said earlier in the program, not every Republican is a racist, but every racist is a Republican. Let's say if Carson somehow defeated Trump for the GOP nomination. Do you really think every Republican is going to be behind a black man? And I'm not talking about the kind of racists who only like black people, who kiss their ass or agree with them, or the ones who are friends with their daughters or sons but won't date them. I'm not talking about those kind of racists. I'm talking about cold-hearted Ku Klux Klan racists. Those are the type of racists.
Old school.
Yes. You really, and they're still out there. Thank goodness they're not around here or haven't ran into any yet. Thank goodness.
I know a few. I'll introduce you later this week.
And you're a piece of shit. But do you really think that those kind of Republicans are going to be behind Ben Carson? The first thing they see is his color. They don't give a fuck that he's Christian. They don't give a fuck that he's saying things that they want to hear. I'm pointing at my skin, people, because you can't see me. This is what they care about.
He's been tanning a lot lately, so he's got a nice glow to him right now.
And
that's one of those situations, man. They're gonna fucking be biting their lips but he's got that R next to his name, and that's what's important. I hear you, dude. It's no one's, but none of them are gonna vote for Hillary. They're gonna not vote before they vote for Hillary. So there's just no way. I mean, he's like I said, he's got the R, and the R trumps the D. You know, even though you try to make it the D, that's always trumping everything, but. Or at least until you're in your
Trump everything.
At least until you're in your mid 30s or so, maybe late 30s.
Whoa! I'm hoping I don't have that problem in the mid to late 30s. I mean,
we shall see. But luckily, they got a pill for that, and they got a generic now. I don't know why I knew that, but I'm good.
So. Another thing that Donald Trump mentioned, and...
Oh, jeez, we're giving this guy too much airtime here.
No shit, but this is the last thing
we're feeding right into the monster.
Yeah, I don't know if this was a good thing to say. It's due to the fact that a lot of his followers, they may lose their time watching goat porn, but... He wants to get rid of the internet, and I know that this he wants to shut down the internet because that's ISIS. I'm sorry, ISIL's biggest resource, and I mean a lot of his
along with fucking everybody else's biggest resource. Are you kidding me? It's the biggest fucking resource in the world. You can look up anything at any time about anything. You can get sucked into a Wikipedia time loop where you get onto fucking subjects that you didn't even know you were talking about. You start off on World War II and you end up at the Spanish Intifada. I mean, it's everybody's biggest resource. You're going to shut it down because these assholes are actually using it? Have fucking Anonymous. They already said that they're going to launch an attack or a war on these guys. I'm sure they can fucking give them enough trouble. You got the Kurds, they're fighting them. I mean, you legitimize these people by talking about them, by devoting all these resources to them. That's the only way you can legitimize them. There's no other way they can be legitimized.
Like I said, let him say that because, you know, a lot of his supporters are inbred white trash, and you know, of course they're not going to support that because that's going to get in the way of their goat porn, and that's going to get in the way of your Pornhub premium subscription that you have.
hey, I gotta subsidize the fucking assholes like you who aren't paying shit. All right, keep the porn industry running. I'm doing you guys a favor. You should be thanking me. God damn. Actually, you know what? At this point, I think there needs to be an armistice when it comes to the porn industry, and there needs to be a ceasefire. Ceasefire on all ejaculates in and around the vaginal region. I mean, how much fucking porn is out there, dude? You could literally watch, just sit at home and watch porn all day long for weeks at a time. And would you even be able to go through all of it?
Probably not.
I mean, it is just a fucking treasure trove. Why don't we just move?
Treasure? Did you really say treasure?
And it's never going away. It's going to never go. I mean, we say that now. Who knows what's going to happen? But let's just dedicate all these good-looking women and all these things to some other, you know, endeavor. And let's move on. You know, maybe direct them into the clean energy space. I'm sure we can integrate them somehow. Get them going in there, but. Oh God, that fucking thing. Well, shit, man. It's been a good show here, man. We went a little longer than we normally do. We got a little political here. Sorry, guys. But do me a favor, guys, and shout out to us because I want to know what you guys think about this one. Who would the Republicans, the conservatives, who would these guys rather vote for if they had to? Hillary Clinton or Uncle Ben Carson? Which one would these go
Tom
for?
Uncle Tom Carson.
Hey, come on. Let them make that connection, all right? They saw where we were going there. Jesus, you're going to get us in trouble. No, let us know what you guys think, guys, because I'm very curious about this one. I mean, I think they're going to go kicking and screaming either way, but who knows? Let us know what you think. But, yeah, we got a little political here, but thanks for listening, guys. You know, I'm Slim. And this is Shoddy over here. Shoddy, why don't you send us out, brother?
We out. See ya.
Thanks for joining Shoddy and Slim on An Earful in the Emerald City. Hope you survived this torture. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Join us next time and tell your friends about the show.